Let me get this one here geared on, brother. I think I made sure it was off just in case. For these 4-hour messages, I have to make sure there's plenty of battery left. If you're going to preach 4 hours, you got to make sure they're fresh and hot and ready to go. Amen? Now, y'all ain't looking too happy about that. What is it when I mention 4 hours? Y'all was happy. Y'all was having a good time. Now you're sad. 4 hours of preaching. I think that's on right now, isn't it, brother? Amen. 4 hours of preaching. I don't know that I can handle that. I don't know that I can do it, honestly.
Bless you, Lord.
I promise I won't keep you too long. I won't make it hard on you to sit there. But I'll tell you what. If you get tired of sitting there, if you want to stand up right quick, let's just go ahead and do that. Why don't we just stand up? Take you a breather for a second. Why don't we do something right here? I've seen some big-time preachers do this before. Let's see how it turns out, okay? How about we raise our right hand and we say amen? Would that work out?
Amen.
Amen. How about we raise our left hand and say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Now if we raise both of them, let's say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Y'all are doing pretty good. Let's see. Let's see if we raise our right hand, we get what?
Amen.
Amen. What about if we raise our left hand?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And if we raise both?
Praise the Lord.
Let's do that one more time. That sounds mighty good. Let's try this right hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Speed round. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now you can be seated tonight. If at any point during tonight's message the Holy Ghost gets on you, and there's just something that wells up inside of you, you can't sit down anymore, I'd love for you to stand up, raise that right hand and say amen. I'd love for you to raise that left hand and say hallelujah. I don't care what you say, as long as it's in the Lord's will, as long as you say it, amen. We're supporting His Word tonight. Again, it's not about me. I'm just a servant of the will of God. I'm just here to do is what I've been asked to do and what the Lord has asked me to do tonight. And I had two different thoughts that were on my heart this week. And I could not get away from a certain one. And I hate being cliche. And I'm an oddball. I'm not a normal person, in case you did not know. I'm not your usual, typical run-of-the-mill fella. My wife is shaking her head saying, yeah, he's pretty weird. But because of that, I just don't enjoy preaching the same scriptures that you've heard multiple times. I want to give you something different. But the Lord directed me back to a scripture that you've heard 1,000 times. The Lord directed me to a scripture that you've heard in probably every youth meeting that you've ever been to. At least half of them. You've heard this same scripture. You've heard this story told multiple times. I hope that I can shed a little bit of new light on it for you tonight. I'd like for you, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. How many of us thank for that Bible you hold? Say amen. 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 Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. And let's look at verse number 11. Luke chapter number 15, verse number 11. You all will know this story as the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. You've heard it many times throughout your life. But as a youth meeting, the Lord just continues to put on my heart that there may be one here who's close to leaving. There may be one here who's close to being done with this whole church thing. You may say, this ain't for me. I don't enjoy it. My family enjoys it, but it just ain't for me. I got news for you. It is for you. And you'll realize one day, if you do decide to go out to that far country, you'll realize one day that it was for you all along. And I pray that you don't have to experience that. See, there's something about a testimony that doesn't say, I went out into the world for 25 years and then came back.
Go ahead.
There's something about a testimony that says, I was in a church pew since I was born. I got saved. I answered the call to be a missionary. I answered the call to just sit on my pew and praise the Lord. I answered the call to be faithful to my pastor. And you know what? I never left. I never left the church. That testimony would be amazing if you young folk could have that today. It'd be a whole lot better for you to be able to say, I never left the Lord's will, than to say, I left the Lord's will for 20-some years and came back. Imagine what the Lord could do with you. Imagine what the Lord could do with us tonight if instead of wondering what the world tastes like and instead of wondering what the world's like, if we just stick in with Him and stay true to His Word, stay true to your man of God, stay true to your church. If we just stick to the things of the Lord, I believe we could be used even far greater than wasting that time out in the world. Now, for those of you who may have had that in your life, you did walk away from the things of God. Thank God that the end of this story, as you know it, the son returns home. Amen. There is a homecoming for those children who have walked away from the father. And thank God it's real good to be back at daddy's house. But would that God we had some young people in here tonight that just said, I don't want to go to the far country. I don't want to go to know those things. I think I'll just stay right here. I think I'll just stick in the book. I think I'll just stay with God tonight. There's an old song that says, I believe I'll just go with God. Would to God we had some teenagers, some young folks, some young adults, some mamas and daddies. There's a whole lot of young people in here. Your mamas and daddies ain't here with you tonight. Would to God they'd show up to a youth meeting, to a church service, get filled with the Holy Ghost and say, I don't care what comes my way. I'm sticking with it. I'm going to go with God and I'm going to serve Him. But unfortunately tonight, that's not the case for this man in the story that we're about to hear about. You've heard the story many times, but I love the Word of God. I'd love to read the story for you again. Look at verse number 11 of chapter number 15 of the book of Luke. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me a portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. What do you know? And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent himself into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Here's where the story starts getting good. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. Thank God I will. And will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee. I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Verse number 20. And he arose and came to his father. And I love this part right here. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and bring a ring on his hand and put shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, you've heard that story a dozen to a million times, some of you in here tonight. And that may not mean much to you, but I brought a prop with me tonight that I hope I can use. My wife's sitting back here. She has it in her pocketbook. Let me get it from you here. Toss it to me, if you will. Thank you, Brother Joseph. What is this, everybody? This is a roll of toilet paper. Now, you say, oh boy, this just got interesting. He brought a roll of toilet paper to church. This is a fresh roll, brand new. Bought it from Walgreens or Dollar General, wherever we got it from. It came out of the package today. Brand new, fresh out of the linen closet where we keep our toilet paper and our paper towels. Brand new, it ain't been used. I did pull one little sheet off so it'd be free. Some of y'all saying, now that sheet's supposed to be stuck on there. This ain't a brand new roll. It was stuck on there. I pulled it off. How many of y'all have ever been in what I would call an uh-oh situation, where you run out of this? Now, I don't mean to be dirty or nasty in here tonight, but I'm trying to be real with you. Have you ever run out of this? You can think of an instance where you was taking care of business and you ran out. It's that simple, amen? Tell me, what is at the end of this roll of toilet paper? Well, there's cardboard, but I see nothing, right? I see nothing. When you get down to that last sheet and that last sheet pulls off, there ain't nothing left. Now, that's an uh-oh moment for sure. When you get down to that last sheet and there ain't nothing left, that's a problem. But I want to look at this as, what if this roll of toilet paper, however many sheets it may be, we like the plush kind, so it probably has less than 10,000 sheets or something. Let's just guess. If this has 10,000 sheets of toilet paper on this whole roll, and we divided that up into the years of life that you have, God knows exactly when you're going to die. He has your days numbered. He has the hairs on your head numbered. He knows exactly when you will pass away into eternity. Now, if we know the exact number of these sheets, let's say there's 10,000. And every day, if we had 10,000 days in our life, God knows the number exactly. If we were to pull off a sheet for every day, or if we could consider these blessings that we have, and we were to pull off a sheet for every blessings that we have, or if we were to consider this the amount of grace that God has in heaven for us, and every time we have to use some grace, we pull a sheet off. Or what about mercy? Every time we have to use a sheet of mercy, we pull one off and we use it. Tell me, what's at the end of this roll of toilet paper? Absolutely nothing. When you get to the end of your roll of toilet paper, whether it be the days of your life, whether it be the grace that God has given you, whether it be the mercy that God has given you, when you get to the very end, what is left? Absolutely nothing. See, all that we have is the amount of sheets that are on this roll. All that we have is what God has given us. He knows the definite number of when you will pass away. He knows how much grace it takes to live your life. He knows how much mercy He gives you on a daily basis. Thank God He gives me more than I deserve a lot of times. And He just gives me an extra dose of help. Because there's some days where I've been awful and I've been rotten and I need to take a few extra sheets. Does that make sense? And not that God's grace is limited. God's grace is not limited tonight. There is not such thing as limited atonement. God's grace covered every sin, every stain. God's blood took care of every sin on the cross. Thank God there's anybody that can be saved that's a whosoever will tonight. Amen. I love that part of the Bible. But these sheets, if they represented our years or our days or the amount of grace that we use every day, I would like to think of this within this story of the prodigal. The prodigal son went to his father and he said, "Father, I don't have any respect for you. I don't care about the farm. I don't care about what you have me do. I don't love you. I just want what you can give me." Now there's a problem right there. How many of us treat our Heavenly Father like we could care less who He is? Like we could care less what He's done? Like we could care less about the blessings that He's given us? Like we could care less about anything in this world besides what we want right now, and how we want to get it, and what we need just right this second. There, we live in a generation where not only are we entitled, but it has to be right now. And I'm guilty. I go to the microwave with a thing of Stouffer's mac and cheese and put a minute in and look at 58, 59 seconds saying, "Is it not done yet?" We're impatient people. We want things right now. God doesn't work on your time. He can be 4 days late and still on time, just like we saw in Lazarus. So if God doesn't work on your and my time, and all we say is, "God, can I have it right now? God, can you fix this problem? God, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that." And we never stop to say, "God, I just love you for being you. God, I just praise you for being good. God, I just thank you for salvation. God, I just praise your holy name for the wonderful things that you've done. God, thank you for my family. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my church. I praise your holy name." We spend more time saying, "God, give me," than we do saying, "God, thank you for what you've given me." This son was the same way. He goes to his daddy. He says, "Daddy, I don't care what you've given me in the past. I don't care what you've got for me in the future. I don't care about these things. I don't care about any of it except what I can have right now." First of all, I'd like for us to see the self-worth of the spender. That spender, the man, the son, the boy there, he thought he was something. There's some of you in here tonight. You think you're something. Been there. Been sitting in a pew just like you. They're preaching and I was the best dressed youth there. I was the best behaved youth there. I was the best haircut there. I was the richest man there. I was the better than everybody else man there. I've been sitting exactly where you're sitting tonight. You may think, "Man, I'm hot stuff. There ain't nobody in this building worth Jesus as much as me. There ain't nobody in this building that's got as much as I have." Hey, it's easy for us to do. It's easy for us to look down our nose at other people who have less than us. It's easy for us to look down on our nose for people who are worse than us. But did you know that the Bible says for the little word is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? And then it includes the word none. So all there means what? All. Everybody. The word none means what? None. Everybody. There ain't nothing worth anything. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. Right. There ain't a single one of us here in here worth anything. I was not worthy of the blood atonement that was shed for me. I was unworthy to approach the throne of grace. I was unworthy to ask God for anything. I was unworthy to ask Him to save my soul. I was unworthy for Him to call me to preach. I was unworthy for Him to give me the talent to sing. I was unworthy for Him to give me a wife. I was unworthy for Him to give me a family that loves me. I was unworthy for Him to give me friends that love me. I was unworthy for Him to give me a good church. I was unworthy for Him to give me anything that I have in this life. But it's real easy for me sometimes to say, I got a good family, you know. I got good friends. I'm in high places. I'm pretty good. There was the self-worth of the spender. You see, he knew that somewhere in Daddy's house, maybe at the bank, so to speak, that they had, there was a whole roll of toilet paper waiting for him. Does that make sense tonight? There was a whole lot to this roll in his mind. There's a whole lot of money. My daddy owns a farm. My daddy owns cattle. My daddy's got money set aside for me. I'm the best in this land. And I'll tell you what, I don't care what my daddy says. I'm going to take my money and I'm going to do what I want to with it. Self-worth of the spender. He was very self-worthy. So what does he do? Y'all read the story? You read it there with me? He goes. He gets that money. He gets that roll of toilet paper. And he goes into the far country. He goes out into the world. And he starts spending this roll of toilet paper. He starts spending His mercy. He starts spending His grace. He starts spending some here. And then he comes over here in the other part of the city and he says, I'll spend some here. What if one day he decides, well, I think I'm going to go to the harlot's house today. Spend a little here.
Come on, brother.
Think I'm going to go to the bar tonight. Spend a little here. Think I'm going to go to the alley tonight and buy some drugs. Spend some here. Think I'm going to go to the party tonight and give up my virginity, my virtue. Think I'm going to go to my friend's house and do things that I ought not do. I think I'm going to go do all kinds of hellion things that my daddy and my mama and my preacher and my church say that I ought not do. I think I'm going to go and I'm going to just be my own person, be my own man. You know, I'm worthy. You know, I got a whole bunch of stuff to me tonight. I'm self-worthy. I've got a lot in my name. I'm a pretty good fella. I can afford to go out and sin a little bit because I've been in church all my life. I'm afraid that may be some of us in this building tonight. I can afford to go out and drink a little bit. I can afford to go out and party a little bit because I've been in church all my life. If the only sin that I ever commit is drinking a beer, then I'm all right tonight. Hey, that's the attitude we have sometimes, is it not? If the only sin I ever commit is having a bad attitude, then I'm all right. If the only sin I ever commit is being prideful, then hey, I'm all right. I ain't as bad as that other person over there. Give me my money and let me go spend it. That's what we tell God. Little do we realize what's happened. I've spent off some of this, and that roll that was really big and really thick, had a whole lot of sheets of paper on it, has now dwindled to a lot less. And you see, once you get out there in the world, once that boy got out there and tasted of those things, the Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. And once he started spending, it got to a point to where he just couldn't stop. See, he may have visited the bar once. He may have visited the alley once. He may have visited the place once that he wasn't supposed to go. He may have listened to something bad once. He may have done bad judgment with a friend. He may have done these sins once, but he kept on going after that. See, it felt good to him. I just need to do a little bit more. Then, I've never been an addict, but I've had addicts tell me that once you taste it once and you get a taste for it, you want more. And you want more. And you want more. And you want more. And as you're sitting there craving and wanting more, this begins to happen. You see what I'm talking about? You get to a point to where you're down to the last one or two, but you're so high that you need a new high, that you need something else to fulfill that void within your heart. See, you realize that your roll of toilet paper has begun to run out. You realize that you don't have quite the same thing that you had one time. You realize that what you had back at Daddy's was a whole lot better than what you got right now. And you start saying, I've got to do something. I've got to fill my void in my heart. So you tear off that last sheet. You tear it off. Spend it on something that's not worthy. And then what are you left with? Nothing. You're left with nothing. Look at what happened to him. Verse number 15 and 16. went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have, actually, let's go up to verse 14 so you can see it. And when he had spent all, nothing left. He's got no more inheritance left. Every bit of good reputation that he had in the community, gone. Every bit of being the good preacher's kid, being the good Baptist kid, being the good church-going kid, gone. Every bit of virtue and virginity that young person had, gone. Every bit of fortitude, every bit of calling that person had on their life, guess what? Gone. He wasted it. Look at that. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. There is coming a day when the world will not be as successful as what it is. You see, right now, it seems as if you can't get any better than to be a rock musician. Seems you can't get any better than to be a worldly movie star. Seems you can't get any better than to be some big YouTuber or whatever. You make millions and millions of dollars and don't do nothing with your life. Seems like there ain't nothing better than to be one of those people out in the world. But there's coming a day. We sing the song called That Name Is Jesus. How every tongue will bow, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's coming a day where the world will have nothing left.
Amen.
See, the world that he was living in, that country that he was living in, what happened to it? Went into a famine. He had no money left. But what does the next part say? And he began to be in want. He got to that point where he was at that last sheet saying, I need a new high. I need a new something. I need something to fill this void. Tore it off. Now he's got nothing. So what does he do? It says he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. See, that boy's out there in the world. That boy's out there in a far country, doesn't know anybody. And all of his so-called friends that helped him spend all this money, all of his friends that helped him spend this so-called virtue, all of his friends that helped him party and helped him get out in the world even deeper and told him, oh, it's okay, you just got to try it. Hey, it ain't that bad. I'm doing all right. I ain't dead yet. This gang thing ain't for real. This drug thing ain't for real. They tell you back in church that you ought not do that. But look, I'm hanging out all right. They were helping him spend this stuff. But it says that he's all alone. It says he's in a famine. Since there's nobody there. So he goes and joins himself to this person in this other country. And that man makes him do something. He makes him go out and feed the hogs. Now, I don't know if any of you, I don't know if you know anything about hogs or not. My daddy used to raise pigs there on his farm that he grew up on. He used to have to slaughter them hogs, but he used to have to feed them too. And he tells me that was one smelly ordeal. That ain't no fun. They eat the nasty mess. They eat what's left. When you get done eating, you know, you got that little bit of ketchup left on your plate and you got some of whatever else you was eating, whether it be a hot dog or whether it be corn or whatever. You got some left on your plate there and your mama walks over and she goes to the trash can and scrapes all of it off. That's what that boy was eating. What was left on them people's plates, they scraped it off in this big bucket. Carried that big old bucket. His job was to carry those big buckets of scrap, those big buckets of trash. Those big buckets of nasty mess. Now, I'm not being gross in here tonight, but how many of you is like, man, that don't sound good. How many of you want to go to your trash can at home and just eat right out of it? You wouldn't want to. This fella, he's down to where he has absolutely nothing, to the point to where he's walking around carrying a bucket full of slop, and he's so bad to the point that he's got this hog eating right there, and he's down there next to him eating out of the same bucket that the hog is eating out of. Now, that's nasty. That is awful. That's in a treacherous place. You say, I would never eat the nasty mess that a hog eats. You just wait till the world gets done with you. Just wait till the world chews you up and spits you out. Till you don't have nothing left. Till when your roll of toilet paper is completely gone and you ain't got nothing left. No more mama, no more daddy, no more help, no more friends, no more nothing. You have nothing left in your life except this empty tube, this empty hollow place in your body that you can't fill. You'll do anything to try and fill that void at that point. You'll be so hungry, you'll eat the nasty maggots of the world. You'll eat the nasty slop of the world. You'll be in the gutter somewhere needing just a taste of something to fill your belly. What happens to the boy after that? He would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. See, there's nobody that cares about you quite like they do right here.
Come on.
There's nobody that cares about you quite like the people in this building that do. You may be here tonight, your parents don't love you the way they ought to. They treat you bad. You're in a bad home situation. Social services may be active in your home. Guess what? There's a family of God here that you can cling to, that you can get some help from. This pastor of this church, this wonderful church, the other churches who are gathered here, you youth in here tonight, you may not have a sturdy home foundation. Your mama, your daddy may not be safe. Thank God you got a youth pastor, you got a pastor, you got a deacon, you got somebody that'll love on you and take care of you. But more importantly, there's somebody greater than anybody in this building. That's His name, Jesus Christ. You see, when you have nobody that loves on you, that song that we sang, when everybody else walks out, that's when Jesus decides to walk in. See, He's been here the whole time. He's been watching you walk away. He's been watching you not have anybody, and He's just waiting with outstretched arms saying, "Come unto Me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you," He says, "for My burden is easy, My burden is light." He says, "Come to Me." He wants to love on you. He wants to give you help. You may not be in a good home tonight. You may not be in a good position tonight, but here, right here is a place where you can come to get the help that you need, to get the home that you need. When you don't have a family, you can have God's family. When you don't have a mama and daddy, though your mother and father forsake you, still you have Jesus Christ. When you ain't got a best friend, He'll be the dearest friend that you ever had. When you've got nobody to turn to, He'll provide a way in the wilderness for you. See, He's amazing tonight. Back to the Word tonight. He had nobody. Nobody would give Him anything. He's out in the world. But what does verse number 17 say? When He came to Himself, He started thinking. And I don't believe it was really necessarily Him thinking. I think it was more of the Holy Spirit convicting Him. You know that song we talk about whispering in His ear? He knew what it was like to be at Daddy's house. He had been there. He had eaten them big old meals of them heifers that they slaughtered. He had eaten that tenderloin. He had eaten that T-bone steak. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about even more on a spiritual note. He had been in them services where it's so sweet. He had been in them services where the old saints of God are up shouting, waving their hands. He had been in them services where the altars are flooded with kids and flooded with people. He had been in the church house when things were right. He had been there when things were good. He knew how sweet and how good it was back at Daddy's house. And I believe the Holy Spirit of God came and whispered in his ear, said, "Boy, don't you remember what it was like to be back there at Daddy's house? Don't you remember how good it was to eat of that pork chop, to eat of the T-bone steak, to eat of that sirloin? Don't you remember how good it was to feast on the manna from heaven? Don't you remember how good it was for the pastor to deliver you some word to chew on? Don't you remember how good it was when everybody was there hugging on you and loving on you? Don't you remember how good it was when you had other friends who were the same age as you and believed in the same things as you and wanted to see you prosper and would grow and be your buddy? Don't you remember how good it was back at Daddy's house?" And then he starts coming to himself. Something inside of him is changing. You see, he's beginning to realize, "I have nothing left. I've spent everything. I've got nobody else left to turn to. I have no more friends. I have no more people in this world except these nasty pigs that I'm eating with." And he starts thinking about how good it was back at Daddy's house. And then, what does he do? Look at your word. He came to himself. And he said, here's where he starts thinking about it. He said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough not just to eat, but to spare? And I perish with hunger." And that's got an exclamation point on it there. He's thinking within himself, but he's agonized. He's in pain. He's in torture. He's saying, "How much food would my even servants at my father's house have? And here I am perishing with hunger." You see, when the world gets done with you, there won't be nothing else left for you to do but look back and realize, "Oh, it was so good back at Mom and Daddy's house. It was so good back at the church house. It was so good to be back with my friends and back with my family. I wish I could go back. How many of the people at church have money that they would give me? And how many of the people at church would feed me? How many people at church would take care of me?"
Come on, brother.
Comes to himself. They have food enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Look at verse number 18. "I will arise and go to my father, And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That's what you got to do tonight. The very first thing, when you get to that point, you've got absolutely nothing left. There is a Father in heaven who still loves you. There is a daddy back at home who's waiting on you to come home. If you were to walk out in this world tonight, you'll have a mom and daddy who are heartbroken. You'll have a pastor and a youth pastor who are heartbroken. You'll have a Sunday school teacher who will mourn for your loss. But as you're out there in the world, they can't tell you to come back. You won't listen to them. But when you get rid to where you have absolutely nothing left, then when you decide, I'm going to go back home because they got some good stuff, the first thing you got to do is realize that you ain't nothing. See, if you're here tonight, you've been out in the world, first thing you got to do is realize that you are valued of this. You are not worthy to come to the throne of grace. You're not. I'm not. I'm unworthy to approach that throne. But thank God there's what's called a mediator. There's a mediator between God and man. And when I'm unworthy, I'm always unworthy to approach that throne of grace. Jesus Christ, who sits there on the right hand of the Father, whispers in God's ear and tells him what I'm saying and says, now you remember, that boy grew up with us. That boy is our son. That boy still belongs to the Father. He may be out messed up. He may be out in the ditch eating with the hogs. He may be worth absolutely nothing, but he's still our boy. And we got to wait on him, and God will have his open arms waiting on you to come home. Look what happens. There he says, and he arose and came to his father. But when it was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And then he had the fatted calf. How do you think that calf got fatted? That's a good question. That daddy had done been feeding that calf. You mamas and daddies who are in here tonight, you got a child who's wayward. You got a lost son, lost daughter. You got grandchildren who you'd love to just see come back. You keep feeding that fatted calf. You keep giving him corn. You keep giving him feed. You keep giving him hay. Because eventually your prayers will be answered. That son will return home. He'll come home and you be standing there with open arms just awaiting on him to come back. Look what the daddy did. He had compassion on him. He ran and he kissed on him. Even though he was worth absolutely nothing, the father still thought of him as if he was worth everything. See, that father remembered when he was standing there at his mother's womb and the child was born, and he grabbed that baby boy and he held him in his arms and he said, this is my son. He had already had one other son, but this is his second son. God the Father is glad for every child that has ever been born to him through Jesus Christ. It says that the angels in heaven shouting the glory down when one sinner that is lost comes to repentance. He's glad that you're his child tonight. And when he sees his child coming back, he says, I remember holding that baby boy in my arms. I remember nurturing him. I remember raising him. I remember taking him hunting deer. I remember teaching him how to fish. I remember doing these different things with him. My boy, I remember doing things with him. And I remember how good it was for him to be at home. I'm waiting on him to come back with open arms because I want to hug on him. I want to kiss on him. God, tonight, if you are out here and you're worth absolutely nothing, you've spent every bit of what you've got, every bit of your testimony is gone, you've done thrown in the towel, you're completely done, you've got nowhere else left to go, no more money, no more friends, thank God he still loves his children. And the father accepts him, feeds a fatted calf, invites him back into his household. Now, do you think that everything went well for that boy? I believe there was probably some proving time. I don't believe that father just grabbed all of his inheritance again and said, well, son, here's everything that you've spent. Let me give it back to you. Mm-mm. Doesn't work that way. See, if you're out wayward tonight and you want to come back home, first thing you got to do is realize that you have no more toilet paper left. And the only way that you can come back is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through asking him for forgiveness for what you've done. You may be saved, but you've been out in the world. You've done messed up. You've done lost your virtue. You've done lost your testimony. You can come home tonight, but you got to realize that you're worth absolutely nothing.
Come on, brother.
Repentance will not be real if you're prideful when you admit it. Now, let me go back and say that again. Repentance will not be real if you're prideful when you admit it. What does repent mean? Repent means to confess your sins, turn around, and not do them again, correct? if while you're repenting of your sin, you're saying, but I'm not that bad. Don't even worry about repenting of your sin. I ain't doing you no good. Unless you come with a broken and contrite heart, God doesn't want you to just come say, oh, I'm sorry, with a bad attitude. That ain't how it works. Good example. When I was growing up, I'd get in a fight with my sister, and we would beat up on each other. Now, she whooped me a few good times, but there were some times where I'd smack her, and Mama would say, now, Jared, you ought not do that. Go and apologize to your sister. I'd turn my head away from her. I'm sorry. Walk on. Now, was I really sorry? No. You know what? Give me 2 hours, I'd probably smack the devil out of her again. It's just the way I was. I didn't mean that worth nothing. Same thing tonight. If you're down to where you've spent every last drop and you got absolutely nothing left, God doesn't want you coming and saying, I'm sorry. I'm good. I just need to put on a show for Mom and Daddy tonight. See, Mom and Daddy and youth pastor are here. They've been asking me to come to church. If I go down and make a big scene, it'll be better. They'll shut up and leave me alone about getting right. If I just go down and make a loud noise while I'm crying and say, oh, I'm sorry. Don't come down unless you mean it. Not only if you come down and admit that you're worth nothing. See, He'll forgive you. If you're repentant and you're truly sorry, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, He will take you from being a zero and make you somebody's hero. Brother TJ, could you stand up for me? I don't mean to make fun of you, brother, but your testimony fits this sermon. Walked out on God. Knew what he was running from. But how many of you in here tonight could look at Brother TJ and say, you may have run away from God, but you've taught me some lessons. You've taught me how to stay in church. You've taught me not to go out into the world. See, brother, while you didn't know it, God was making you from a zero, absolutely nothing. You'd spent everything that you had. You got rid of your testimony. You run your granddaddy's name down. But thank God He took you from being a zero, and now you're some of these kids' heroes. See, now you're some of these people in this church hero, and God can use that testimony. But Brother TJ would be the first to tell you, don't do what he done. Brother TJ be the first to tell you, stay at Daddy's house. One of my best friends, Brother Joseph, is sitting right there. Brother, you locked out on God. And it's one of the hardest things to ever do to come back. But that Sunday that you came back, knelt right underneath that cross. We have a cross sitting on our stage. And there underneath that cross, Brother Joseph just wept his way back to God. Wept his way back to Jesus. Wept his way back to Daddy Father. He said, God, I am a zero. God, I've spent everything that I had. I've wasted every bit of goodness, every bit of God that I had. But God, if you'll just take this zero, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. God, if you'll just take my empty and my broken heart, I'm willing to serve you. I'm willing to be used of you, Brother TJ, if he'll just take what you have left, which is absolutely nothing. God, I'm a zero, but would you just use me and forgive me? Would you restore me into your house? I don't care if I'm worthy of anything. I don't care if I'm a Sunday school teacher. I don't care if I'm a choir leader. I just want to be back at Daddy's house. I just want to be back in the good place. I just want to be back with the people of God. I want to be back with my brethren. I want to be back with my sisters. I want to be back where I'm not considered a zero anymore, but I'm just considered Daddy's son. Amen. The Lord can do that for you tonight. No matter where you've been, no matter where you've come from, no matter what you got left, God can take your life that's worth absolutely nothing and turn it into something. And then just as that song that we sang earlier, you need to give Him the glory. Would you stand with us tonight? You may be here tonight and you've never gone out into the world. Thank God. Give Him the glory for it and stick with it. Don't you go out there. It's not worth it. You'll have a heap of mess more. You'll have everything spent and won't have nothing. You'll have to eat with the hogs. You'll have to be with all the fame and all the nasty things of the world. Don't go do it. But tonight, if you have messed up, if you have committed sins that you know you ought not to, if you have walked against God, walked away from His Word, walked against the things of your pastor, the things of your church, you know what? There's a place right here. And it's already got some tissue waiting on you to come dry your eyes. What about that here tonight? Y'all say that was just a dumb illustration. What do you know? There's already some tissue waiting on you to get right here. Waiting on you to weep your way back to God. Waiting on you to weep your way back to mama and daddy. Waiting on you to just get right. If you'll come down here, grab a piece of this toilet tissue, you can blow your runny nose, you can dry your crying eyes, and just thank God that He'll accept you back into His home. It's already ready for you. You see, the fatted calf was prepared. There is a home waiting for you. You just got to come to yourself, realize that you're nothing, and go back to it. Why don't we have every head bowed, if we could, every eye closed?